what Tumblr will eventually turn into, a big demon, a big demon that's gonna, it's gonna go around devouring and castrating all white men.
Radio Drone.
Are you all jacked in for this episode of Radio Drone? I am Josh Hadley. And as you can hear, Peter is here. He's jacked in into the Matrix, ready to go into cyberspace.
Yes, all 3 gigabytes of me.
Hey, you don't want to overdo it, right?
Exactly.
And as you can hear, Cecil is with us, but I don't know. He got a bad download, man. He's on a low.
Yeah, I got stuck in like a bad packet and I defragged.
If you can't tell, we're going to be talking about cyberpunk tonight. Before that, see, I came up with an idea for a hardcore porno called Cyberspunk, where, I've actually got a whole plot written out and everything.
You have too much time in your hands.
I have a whole plot written out and everything. Nobody better steal my idea. Cyberspunk. I could make this a real movie that people would really like. But if you guys just want some kind of porno, you go to adamandeve.com. Use the promo code DROME, D-R-O-M-E, and you will get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, a free Power O-ring, and free U.S. shipping. Just use the promo code DROME at adamandeve.com. Cyberspunk. Come on, the pun is just perfect. I wanted to talk about this. I mean, we did this episode a few years ago with Alex, but to be honest, Alex told Cecil and I before the show he's not a big cyberpunk fan, and you could kind of tell he wasn't into it. I'm not insulting the guy. Kind of along for the ride on that one. I know Peter's a big cyberpunk fan, so why do you like the cyberpunk genre in general?
Well, it's kind of an offshoot of science fiction that's not as, like, serious. I think it's a good, accessible science fiction subgenre to get into. And maybe some of the examples I'll list won't necessarily be cyberpunk, but they're cyberpunk to me. A movie like Johnny Mnemonic or Split Second or even like Escape from New York to be kind of cyberpunk aesthetic film. Because to me, I sort of look at it as kind of not necessarily cheap, but it's sort of science fiction, but with a punk aesthetic. That's what makes me usually think cyberpunk, which I feel like Split Second has, where you got Rutger Hauer basically going after Venom from Spider-Man in a flooded London. Got Escape from New York, which is like dystopian future. New York is a prison. Kurt Russell with an eye patch shooting motherfuckers. That's kind of what I consider cyberpunk. Or you got the sort of pseudoscience of Johnny Mnemonic, where he's a living USB plug.
Whoa, no. I'm going to stop you. Pseudoscience? Johnny Mnemonic, all they got was the years wrong, man.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, they definitely got everything about gigabytes right and all that stuff. But yeah, you've also got, you know, characters like Ice-T with his dreadlocks and his trench coat. Everyone's got weird guns. Everyone's wearing suits for whatever reason. And it's in kind of a, it's not necessarily post-apocalyptic, but it borders on it, I guess. I think I would consider that cyberpunk. Like, it's not necessarily like a Mad Max, but it looks like it's either rebuilding after a catastrophic event like that or kind of leading up into it. And that's sort of what I see cyberpunk as being.
Cyberpunk to me always has some aspect of computers, and it's always the computers and the internet. It's always jacking into the internet or using technology in, you know,
it's better than jacking off on the internet.
You fucking cock. I was going to make that same joke, but I thought it would be too cringy.
Ha! I have no shame? Okay, fine.
It always has that aspect to it. So something like Strange Days or Johnny Mnemonic or something like that, that where there is the element of technology and computers and the internet and information. And a lot of times I grew up playing Shadowrun and reading Snow Crash and reading William Gibson. So I've always had this concept, you know, I've always had in my mind of data couriers pushing technology. I would say even something like The Lawnmower Man. Man has aspects of cyberpunk in it.
Lawnmower Man 2, definitely.
Lawnmower Man 2, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Lawnmower Man 2 is terrible, but it very much is cyber. Well, I do want to revisit it. I have a feeling it's still not going to be any good. It still has aspects of heavy aspects of cyberpunk. I mean, it's Job, becomes a computer entity and basically takes over and then is expelled out of the computer and that whole thing. And that's always been what it's to me.
Well, what it actually is the word cyberpunk is defined as high technology, low life. So basically, technology, you brought up computers, Cecil, which computers often play a large part, but technology, like you have things like Wild Palms, which is about television taking over your lives. Certain, like the Black Mirror episode with the grain in the back of your head, which is very much about technology, but not necessarily the internet. The word itself actually goes back to 1980, where Bruce Bethke wrote a short story called Cyberpunk. It's not cyberpunk as we know it today. He just used the word. And he also regrets having not trademarked the word. God, he would have been a billionaire if he trademarked that damn thing. But really, what we think of as cyberpunk was started in 1984 when William Gibson published Neuromancer. Basically, he laid all the groundwork for everything we think of cyberpunk as today. Technically, Blade Runner would be the first cyberpunk movie, even though that came out 2 years before Neuromancer. Neuromancer he started it in 1979, and what pissed William Gibson off, and there's no way this is not plagiaristic or anything. When he saw Blade Runner, he almost stopped writing Neuromancer because he said, that looks exactly like what I'm writing. Now if I write it, it's gonna seem plagiaristic. So he almost stopped writing Neuromancer after seeing Blade Runner because him and Philip K. Dick were kind of on the same page without ever having met one another.
Guys like William Gibson and Philip K. Dick really held to that kind of, and Philip K. Dick, especially with how old his books actually are, his work predated a lot of the cyberpunk kind of stuff, and William Gibson created a lot of really great stuff as far as that goes as well. As far as like visual aesthetic goes, that's probably as cyberpunk as it gets, and probably the most probably the one a lot of people have seen without even knowing that it's like a cyberpunk kind of thing. Like, they probably might not even know the word, but they've likely seen it.
You know, Neuromancer does really feel like, I mean, when you're reading it, you are visualizing a lot of that stuff that's in Blade Runner. There was even a game that came out called Rise of the Dragon. It was a DOS and Sega CD game where you played a guy named Blade Hunter. Very much looked like Blade Runner. It was an awesome game. It was a point and click, like adventure. And, it had a great, really dark story, but you had a lot of like punk rock girls. You had a lot of neon. You had, people jacking in to the internet. And it just, it was great. I loved it. And that was another game that came out at the right time. As far as, Blade Runner, I think that could if you were to ask somebody who maybe had a limited knowledge of it, they would probably point to Blade Runner being like, oh, well, that was what started cyberpunk, when really it wasn't. But it's just, it's either that or Neuromancer. But that is what really I think Blade Runner established the look. Neuromancer established the rules.
Well, but then technically you could even go to heavy metal. The Harry Canyon story, which Ridley Scott has openly said was one of his visual inspirations for Blade Runner. There's no fear of technology or anything. In fact, it goes the other way with the Lochnar, but the visual look and the punks and things like that, the cab with the disintegrator, that Harry Canyon story in heavy metal is very much a cyberpunk aesthetic. And that out a year, and that's a year before Blade Runner.
It absolutely is. I'm pretty sure that there's a documentary I watched on the heavy metal magazine and Mobius as an artist and stuff like that. And there's a lot of stuff about Blade Runner's their art department ripping off directly off of Mobius's dystopian future flying car kind of landscape. And it even goes as far forward The Fifth Element, which is basically a feature length version of that heavy metal story that you were talking about the futuristic cab driver.
That's another thing that I think has a lot of cyberpunk look to it. And if you ever read, seen a cover, looked at anything heavy metal, and then look at The Fifth Element, and don't be like, oh yeah, they really borrowed a lot from that. I mean, that's kind of where a ton of that came from, where that whole design came from.
And then cyberpunk also, because of the fact that it's about technology interacting with humans and usually bad people, you know, the whole low life thing is not necessarily in an esoteric life manner. These are low lives for the most part. You have weird movies that could technically be cyberpunk, like Videodrome. All about new technology, yeah. Physically changing someone. I mean, he literally has sex with his television at one point. I would say Videodrome is a cyberpunk movie that most people would never associate with being a cyberpunk movie.
I associate that one with cyberpunk category of Blade Runner, where it's a little more well-known, but people that probably aren't as familiar, again, with the subgenre probably don't see it or know of the term, but it definitely is. It is that kind of low-life characters, high technology, getting desensitized to things, getting jacked in what Cecil was talking about, because there is a lot of that weird kind of shit where his hand turns into a gun and stuff like that. I would really consider Videodrome to be cyberpunk, low key cyberpunk, but still cyberpunk in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I think that has a lot of elements of it, the same way that something like Existenz has cyberpunk in it.
I've always considered Existenz a cyberpunk movie to begin with, so I don't even think that one's riding the line, because I mean, plot twist, the whole thing is a video game.
Mm-hmm.
I know Cecil likes the movie more than I do, but like Brain Scan, that could even be a cyberpunk movie.
Yeah, it could. Actually, now that I think about it, yeah, that absolutely totally is, especially the the jackal or the jester, who's like the trickster, yes, is a very cyberpunky heavy metal looking character, and just the idea of like killing people in virtual reality and stuff like that, that's a very cyberpunk movie. Absolutely.
When you talk cyberpunk in general, you refer to things like Johnny Mnemonic and movies like that, but I think the quintessential cyberpunk definition is Max Headroom. That TV show, even the original 20 Minutes into the Future pilot, that I think defined the look of cyberpunk as we envision it more than Blade Runner did, since Blade Runner only used the aesthetics and some of the themes. I think especially the original 20 Minutes into the Future, that is what has been in our brains for visual reference ever since 1985.
Well, I didn't really grow up on Max Headroom. I found out about that way later. So I was more raised on the cyberpunk stuff, like Blade Runner and Escape from New York and Split Second and Johnny Mnemonic and stuff like that. So I didn't really know about Max Headroom until I was 17 or 18. But yeah, I can see where you're coming from on that for sure.
Max Headroom, I mean, the whole thing with them, I know that the 20 Minutes into the Future was kind of their gimmick, but the honest truth was they were so far ahead of everything. I mean, if you go down the list of things that they predicted, it's insane how many things they predicted.
They weren't even that far off on some of the years, because do you realize that Max Headroom, even though it was made in 1985, 1986, 1987, depending on the incarnation, takes place in 2014. So they weren't even really all that wrong on the years in a lot of cases.
Yeah, they really nailed it on a lot of things. They did a great job. And yeah, it's very, very cyberpunk.
What would you say is the quintessential cyberpunk movie? A movie that if you're trying to tell somebody, if you're trying to indoctrinate somebody, what is the quintessential cyberpunk film? Because you have so many different styles. You can kind of go with the post-apocalyptic-ish, like Hardware. You can kind of go with the more teen and psychic drama with like Akira. You can go something like Blade Runner. You can go like Class of 1999 is very cyberpunk. Both Total Recalls are cyberpunk. Or you could go something like The Matrix, or even, yeah, Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, the movie.
Yeah. So what would be your this is cyberpunk to you kind of film?
I'll go with one of my earliest, my earliest viewings of something that I heard to be of that genre that I look back on it now. I didn't know a lot because I was very young. I was like, I mean, 9 or 10 years old when I first saw it, but I'm going to go with Ghost in the Shell.
The original
that,
animated
to me,
movie.
Is yes, the original animated film. I consider it to be like required cyberpunk viewing. If you're into that subgenre, that needs to be one that you need to sit down and watch at least the, cause it is cyberpunk as fuck. You got cyborgs, you got cool technology, you got the jacking in shit, you got the Blade Runner type landscape. It's perfect in that essence. And I think it's great. I'm not so much looking forward to the new action movie, but I like that modern audiences are getting more cyberpunk. They get to be introduced the way I was as well with the new one coming up. And I really do think Blade Runner is an essential viewing. Like, it really is your quintessential cyberpunk story. And I think, because I grew up watching a lot of animated stuff, and I think right after that I saw Akira. So I would go for Ghost in the Shell and Akira as my two, like, essential picks.
If I was to go with ones, if I'll pick, I'll pick two, I will go with, Hardware and Johnny Mnemonic. I think that, those both capture cyberpunk, but in different ways. Hardware shows, you know, downtrodden and how, like, the world has kind of gone to shit. The government was creating computers and cyborgs to, you know, clean up the mess that the world has become. It's just, with the scavengers going through the wastelands and just people living in these, like, isolated bubbles. It's just such an amazing movie. And then Johnny Mnemonic, where it kind of represents the other side of it, where it's like, you know, you have the data couriers and you have, you know, hitmen and cyborg assassins and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of is the more high tech versus low tech version of it.
I think Johnny Mnemonic is a very good representation of something like Shadowrun.
One of the themes you tend to see in cyberpunk, whether it's in any of the subgenres of cyberpunk, the downtrodden fighting back. It's usually those in control are corrupt and usually corporate for some reason. The little guy fighting against the big guy. And that's something that can speak to people. So even if you're not into cyberpunk specifically, everyone likes that kind of a story. Have you guys seen the German film Decoder from 1984, the one with William Burroughs?
No.
That is an example of that kind of weird, esoteric, druggy look at fighting the system. And in almost all of these, you've got Strange Days, which I think is just an amazingly overlooked movie. And it's all about fighting the system. Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but RoboCop, I think, is a cyberpunk movie, and that's literally about fighting his own corrupted programming.
Definitely. I mean, RoboCop was originally going to be a Judge Dredd movie, and Judge Dredd is cyberpunk as all shit. So even the general dirty aesthetic, like, it's almost more punk than cyber in a lot of instances, with all the weird strung out drug addicts and street gangs and muggers and the dystopian look. And then you've got just that flash of neon, probably a made-up word, futurism, injected into the film with RoboCop and his cool gun and ED-209 and the big corporation that's ruling over the, you know, the working and the lower class. But that almost makes me sad, because that kind of means that RoboCop 3 is the definition of a cyberpunk film, because it is the lower class finally fighting against the upper class.
Yeah, I think RoboCop kind of falls into, like, the fringes of cyberpunk. The downtrodden fighting up against the corrupt government. You've got, or corrupt officials, I guess you could say.
You've literally got Murphy fighting his own programming.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a lot of aspects in there. So definitely,
It's even got the jacking in. You know, Murphy is jacked in. He jacks into a computer to get evidence and information on the bad guys and stuff.
Yeah, with the computer middle finger.
Yeah,
and then ends up literally killing the bad guy with that same one.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not exactly arguing that this is wrong, but it's not cyberpunk as I would look at it, and that is like Tron. Considering that whole thing is about being in a video game, I don't know. Tron doesn't quite fit my ideal of cyberpunk.
It does and it doesn't, I guess. Like, it kind of does in the way when, like, I mean, it's kind of like Snow Crash in a way, but, you know, similar but different. So I think that it parts of it fall into cyberpunk.
There's elements, much like the way RoboCop would be more punk than cyber. I think Tron is probably more cyber than punk. Like, it has more of the sort of neon technology, futuristic kind of stuff, and not as much punk. But I think the getting sort of linked into a video game and the whole virtual reality aspect and this whole virtual world can almost be looked at as an early version of like an online video game or something. I think if you really want to dig into it, Tron does work as a cyberpunk film.
Now, the comic books definitely for Judge Dredd, the 2000 AD stuff is definitely cyberpunk. But I see a lot of people consider the two Dredd movies cyberpunk, and I'll say maybe Judge Dredd a little bit, the 95, and as much as I love the 2012 Dredd, that's almost the opposite of cyberpunk. That's all about being as low-tech and anti-technology as possible. That's just, to me, a straight-up action movie.
I'd say the 1995 one, definitely. As much as I love the Dredd, the Carl Urban one, superior film, the 95 Stallone version had a lot more from the 2000 AD. Comics. You had weird mutants. You had more kind of out there technology. His bike could fly. The landscape of the city was very Mobius. You know, you had the Firefly family out in the cursed earth. There was a lot more elements that made it cyberpunk. The really high-tech prison with the guards with the huge-ass machine guns and the automated weapons and stuff like that. Whereas the Carl Urban version, as amazing of a film as it is, and it's up there in probably my top 10 favorite films ever made, it's really more of a straight-up action film. And it has science fiction elements to it, but it's more of like a dystopia type film. Like it's not, it does dwindle on cyberpunk. It dangles a little bit on that edge, but it's even more punk than cyber than something like RoboCop is, because that straight up is just like cops fighting thugs, and then you have some corrupt cops and stuff like that. Like it's very much like, it's more of like a futuristic Die Hard film, an actual cyberpunk film.
The Judge Dredd Stallone movie, yes. I think that the Carl Urban Dredd movie, yes, but not as much. Like, because they kind of stripped things down and made it more focused, he spent more time in, was it Peachtree, then I think that really is what, you know, if they ever do get the ability to make another one, please make another one, I think that we would see more cyberpunk aspects to it, because it has the look and the aesthetic of it. It just didn't really have a lot of the computer aspects of it.
What about when a movie or a TV show or a video game or something just uses little elements of cyberpunk, but then goes off in a completely different direction, like the 1990 movie Mind Warp? The beginning and very end are definitely cyberpunk, but that's only about 10 minutes of the total movie. Is Mind Warp a cyberpunk movie?
I think yes, because the thing is, even though the, you know, it's bookended by cyberpunk parts, once you find out at the end what's going on, then that does make the whole thing a cyberpunk movie, because it all, you know, spoiler, the whole thing takes place as, you know, the Matrix. A simulation. Thank you. It's all a simulation of what the outside world could be.
Okay, then by that definition, is the Assassin's Creed video game series a cyberpunk game?
Yeah, because Assassin's Creed blatantly ripped off Mind Warp.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, when you think of the Assassin's Creed games, you don't think cyberpunk.
I don't know. You know, when you get the Animus and you kind of go, I mean, when you're back, cause you spend more time back at the hub than, you know, in Mind Warp. So, I mean, so there is more, like, in between missions, you know, you go, you do your assassination, you come back, you talk to Kristen Bell for a little while, you go back in. So, I mean, there is a little bit more of that. And then you find out a little bit, you know, there's some sort of revolution going on outside. I don't know. I never got past the first game.
There are some overlooked cyberpunk classics that, I mean, we've talked about all of the big titles, but have you guys ever seen, I think it was from the early 2000s, this Lucy Liu movie called Cypher, about the guy who, and this is not spoileristic, because this all happens in the first few minutes, the guy who might be a double agent working against one corporation, who might also be a triple agent, who's been brainwashed into thinking he's a double agent, who's actually working for the first corporation, who might be working for the other corporation, all going undercover.
I can't say I've seen that one.
I've missed that one as well.
It's a fantastic film. Kind of shits the bed a little bit in the last 10 minutes. I saw the plot, the final plot twist coming a mile away, and it was not that good. What about one like Fortress? I'd say Fortress, the Stuart Gordon movie. Holy crap, that is a cyberpunk movie. I mean, it turns out that the villain is a cyborg the whole time, which, I mean, gets revealed halfway through, but you don't know that for a while. And, you know, the whole futuristic prison, and then you got Jeffrey Combs and Tom Tolles having to puke up their little stomach bombs, and you got mind wiping. What about something like Fortress?
I think that's a very cool overlooked one for sure. I haven't seen it in a very long time, but it's one that I want to revisit that I remember really enjoying several years back. That's a very cool movie for sure.
Avoid the sequel. The first film ends where it needed to end. There did not need to be more with these characters.
I'm just trying to remember if it's the same movie you're talking about. Is that with Christopher Lambert?
Yep. Christopher Lambert.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Christopher Lambert goes to the future prison and he gets put in a cell with Jeffrey Combs and Tom Tolles and then he fights Wes from Road Warrior and then they blow people's stomachs up and then Clarence Boddicker is the head of this big prison and he's only got half of a body and he plays with his own nipples when he gets excited and yeah.
Oh, dude, I love Fortress. It's just unbelievably good. It's yet another sadly overlooked Stuart Gordon film. Just everything in it just kicks so much ass. Christopher Lambert, I loved like little things like he's having a dream about his wife because they've been separated. They shock him and it's like, you're not allowed to have those dreams. And it's like, he can't even dream. Like, it's really a good damn movie.
I actually love Jeffrey Combs and I think, honestly, Jeffrey Combs and Tom Tolles steal that movie from the main cast.
Yeah, you know what? I have one, I want to say it's a sadly overlooked film, but it wasn't a small film that's totally, totally cyberpunk. Free Jack.
No, I haven't seen Free Jack in 20 some years, so I'm going off memory here. I remember it being kind of goofy.
Yeah, but it's not, I mean, it's like goofy, like fun. But like, I mean, cause here's, for the people who don't know, Emilio Estevez is a race car driver and he dies.
Today, he's a race car driver in contemporary 1990s.
He's a race car driver today in, yeah, current times. And he dies in an accident and this multimillionaire takes his consciousness, his body and everything.
Anthony Hopkins, if I'm correct.
Anthony Hopkins, yes, and Rene Russo, and more or less transport them into the future, and he's a free jack, and what it is they need to take Anthony Hopkins' mind and put it into Emilio Estevez's body was the intention, because he wanted, you know, that's the way of getting your living forever. It's really just good movie. And even what's his name? Mick Jagger's in it. Even Mick Jagger.
As an enforcer.
As Fasendak, and he keeps calling him Fasendick. Like dumb things like that. But it's so, I mean, Buster Poindexter. Yeah, Buster Poindexter's in it. It's really a fun movie. You sit down and watch it and it's 90 minutes that goes by like nothing.
I haven't seen that one, but I'm going to check it out.
Oh, dude, you'd love Free Jack.
As I pointed out, it's a little goofy, but it's not a bad movie. It just, it goes a little bit into the, okay, even I'm not buying this in a science fiction setting kind of story. What about something like virtual reality? Because remember all the mid-90s, they had all those virtual reality movies, like Virtuosity. Is that a cyberpunk movie? Because I kind of consider it as a cyberpunk movie, even though you wouldn't normally think about it as such.
I saw some of the virtual reality stuff from the 90s. Like, obviously, there's Lawnmower Man, and there's Johnny Mnemonic, and there was Brain Scan and films like that. But I hadn't seen a lot of them, but I saw enough, I guess. But Virtuosity, I don't remember, no.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Virtuosity a couple of times.
It's not nearly as good as it should.
It should be. With the talent behind it, it should be excellent.
Except when you watch it, you know exactly why. It feels like a studio meddled film from beginning to end, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The studio, they really put their dicks in there and just screwed everything up. I'm curious if that's one where someday we might get like a director's cut or something, because it just doesn't feel right. It feels like there's just parts where you're like, why is this happening? And why is there like a really long segment where he's torturing people with music? And like, it feels off. And it's a shame, because I think that Denzel does a good job. I think
Russell Crowe is a fantastic villain, though.
Russell Crowe is a fantastic villain. And I mean, the concepts in there, like he regenerates himself with glass and like that kind of stuff. And like, it had really good aspects to it, but something went awry.
We got one. I'm a huge Albert Pune fan. I don't know if I'll go cyberpunk for Radioactive Dreams, which I've talked about many times before. It's definitely got the punk aspect, and there is a certain cyber aspect to it. I don't know about Radioactive Dreams, but Nemesis pisses me off,
yes.
And I love it. Because, okay.
Nemesis, yes.
The 1992 film. I love it in the fact that it looks like a cyberpunk film. It's got great action scenes. It's got a fantastic cast. But there are elements of the script that do nothing but piss me off. Albert Pune basically didn't know any better. For instance, complete robots are called cyborgs in this, but people with just like a robot arm are called androids. Over and over and over again, and that drives me up the fucking wall trying to watch this film.
Nemesis is a great film, and I can overlook a lot of that stuff. In fact, I don't even pay attention to it because I'm too busy actually really enjoying that one. That one, I actually can't believe I didn't mention it among my little list of favorites, because Nemesis is fantastic, and I think predates a lot of the tropes that Matrix would use. Like, you know, the leather jackets, or not leather jackets, but the big trench coats and the machines are taking over kind of thing. Like, I think it's a very...
The way Oliver Grunier is dodging bullets... Very much pre-bullet time.
Absolutely. It's very much a pre-Matrix film, and I think it, as far as cyberpunk goes, it really holds up. It's one of my all-time favorites.
I love Nemesis. Nemesis is like in my like top 100 movies. I freaking adore it. It's so much action. It's just amazing. And Oliver Grunier is awesome. Tim Thomerson's in it. Brian James. I mean, the aspect of it is that as he keeps going and throughout the movie, he's getting more and more shot. He's getting shot, blown up, and stuff is happening. And he keeps having to replace body parts with, like, machine. And it's like he's getting to the point where he's becoming more machine than man. And they go over that whole thing. And, it's just such a kick-ass movie. And then I remember how overjoyed I was. I was like, there's a Nemesis 2?
Oh my god, 2, 3, and 4, what the hell happened?
4, how, like, that's the thing that kills me. Nemesis is amazing, but then they made 2, 3, and 4, which, they went backwards to do with everything that was in the first movie. You had, I think it was Susie Price, who was, I think she was like an ex-American Gladiators or something. She's now like a cyborg, and there's cavemen, and I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Like, it, and it was so sad because I'm like, how could they not, like, how did they make 3 movies of this, but only 1 movie of Nemesis? You know, only 1 movie of the original.
The Trancers movies. With the exception of 4 and 5, I'd say the Trancer movies are cyberpunk.
I see Trancers as a really good, like, offshoot 2000 AD. Something that would show up in a 2000 AD magazine or even like a heavy metal magazine or something and being turned into a feature film. Like, it's just one of those really, really good ideas, translate very well to the screen. It's a very fun science fiction, cyberpunk kind of movie with Tim Thomerson just being awesome the whole time.
Totally cyberpunk. I mean, they're sending his consciousness back into the body of his ancestors. I mean, yes.
Dry hair is for squids, man.
Dry hair is for squids.
This next one I'm going to bring up, I see where it comes from, but I see a lot of people categorize Terminator as a cyberpunk movie. I'm not so sure, and I love the first Terminator. I don't really consider that a cyberpunk movie. Obviously, you've got the time travel aspect, and you've got the machines. Where do you fall? Is Terminator a cyberpunk movie or not?
I think it can be, and I think maybe it's not. It all depends on how you perceive it. I sort of do. This is a cool element of the future war stuff, but it doesn't completely engulf the film because most of it takes place in, obviously, the present, or at that time it's 1984, and you've got the presence of a cyborg lurking around and a man from the future trying to save somebody who's being, you know, the target of assassination. You've got this great neon feel to the movie, and everything feels futuristic, and it is a lot of high technology, low life kind of stuff, because you've got Kyle Reese, who very much is sort of a low life of the future. He's this guy who was underground and became like a freedom fighter for the human resistance, and now he's in the present trying to protect somebody being chased after a cyborg and stuff like that. So I do think it does have enough elements in it to make it a cyberpunk film. I think it does constitute as one.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same wave. I think that it wouldn't be what you would traditionally think of when you're thinking cyberpunk, but it has enough of the elements in there to, you know, qualify.
Well, and I want to mention some of the more obscure cyberpunk movies that I think people should go and look for. such as, like, I brought up 1984's Decoder. It's a German film. It's not completely in German, because William S. Burroughs appears in it as a shopkeeper, and all of his lines are in English, but the rest of the film is in German, so you gotta find a subtitled version. But then there's the weird, right at the fall of the wall, Kamikaze from 1989, the Russian film, which again, you gotta find subtitled. 1984, especially the 1984 version of 1984, very much is a cyberpunk movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of an understated, it's an understated one, and it's a lot more of a, like a psychological kind of film, but it's a very depressing look what could happen as far as, rise of government and people being, you know, just treated as, like working class being treated very poorly and the corporate rising above everybody. Very grim outlook, but it's a solid one, and it's definitely cyberpunk if you look into it enough. I think it does belong in that subgenre.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with them rewriting the news and feeding it out to the people, and the way
Big Brother on a giant TV screen.
Big Brother on a giant TV screen and all that stuff. I think, yeah, definitely.
Well, and then one of the tropes that kind of gets pulled into cyberpunk, and it's a trope I love, although it does get overdone, death sports of the future. I like to think Running Man is kind of a cyberpunk movie, sort of. The same way like Fool Cheese and the New Gladiators, which is another overlooked one. I think those are cyberpunk movies. What about something like The Running Man? Where does The Running Man fall in cyberpunk?
I was actually going to mention, if you were going to, like, I was waiting for the end of the episode if you weren't going to mention it, like any other highlights, and I was going to say Running Man. I do consider Running Man to be very, very cyberpunk, because you have, like, the oppressed lower class, you have the media lying to everybody, like they're saying, you know, they're sort of manipulating news stories, and they make Schwarzenegger's character look like he gunned down a bunch of innocent civilians. You know, all of the corporation being spun up on its head, due to the lower class rising up and fighting them. And
hey, you know what? I drink Cadre Cola, okay?
I've always wanted a Cadre Cola t-shirt, since I was a kid. Very much, corporate ruling over the, lower class, and then lower class fighting against them with their sort of low-tech technology and fighting against the high-tech technology. And it also sort of predict reality shows. So you have to give it a lot of credit for that too. I think Running Man is, I wouldn't say underrated, because a lot of people know about it due to Schwarzenegger, but I think underappreciated would be a better word. I don't think a lot of people would consider it like sort of a meaningful, cool cyberpunk movie. And I definitely do. I think it's right up there with some of the greats.
I think so. I think the same thing. Yeah. It falls under, a lot of elements of cyberpunk. Just, it's such a great movie. Who loves you and who do you love? Killian!
Sub-Zero. Now Plain Zero!
You. Your Schwarzenegger is much
I'm not trying to do Schwarzenegger. I can't do a Schwarzenegger.
Well, I can, so let me do it. Here is Sub-Zero! Now, Plain Zero!
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely, well, okay. Positively one of the most, quite possibly the most quotable movie ever.
Now, I brought up this one earlier. Do you consider Super Mario Brothers, the movie, to be a cyberpunk film? Because it definitely has the trappings of it, but the story isn't. Where does Super Mario Brothers fall into this? And yes, it looks like it does, because it's directed by the people who created Max Headroom, so that's intentional. I think Super Mario Brothers is a bad movie that looks amazing.
I kind of agree. I don't necessarily think it's a bad movie. I do find it pretty enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it's first of all, it has an intentional cyberpunk element because of who the creators are, and I think that it looks great. I love it. I think it's a fun movie. I think that, I mean, granted, the second unit director had to kind of come in and save the movie after the directors were fired, but the whole thing is just somehow, amongst all of that mess, the end result was an entertaining movie.
As a kid, I definitely felt privileged to finally find out that Mario's full name was Mario Mario.
And Luigi Mario.
Yes, Luigi Mario.
Luigi Mario, yes.
One of the more low-key, and I know this might sound weird, so let me explain, one of the more low-key cyberpunk movies is Strange Days. Because yes, it has the whole squid device. If you look at the aesthetics, it's very much set in just the 1990s. Yes, I know it takes place in the future of 1999, which is only about 7 years in the future from where it was. Strange Days is kind of low-key on the cyberpunk elements while fully embracing them, and also being one of the finest action movies of the entire f***ing 1990s.
Love it. Strange Days gets so many things right. It was depressing at how bad it did. I went to see it, but not a lot of people went to see it in the theater. And it's a shame because the cast is ridiculous. It's an amazing movie. And yeah, absolutely. It has a lot of cyberpunk in it.
I saw it once many, many years ago, at least eight or nine years ago. I remember enjoying it. It's one that I would have to revisit, but I remember it being kind of cool, and it's one of those, it has the Matrix aesthetic before the Matrix actually came out. That's what I at least remember. People wore a lot of leather.
But along those same lines, you have the two Total Recall movies. Now, the 2012 film fully embraced the whole cyberpunk aspect, even though it was a bad movie. But the 1990 film, I still think, is a cyberpunk movie almost by definition. It doesn't have the aesthetics of a cyberpunk film, and I think that actually was a brilliant move on Paul Verhoeven's part.
I think it really has a cyberpunk aesthetic to it. It's very neon. It's got that kind of, the technology really works. It reminded me of reading a Philip K. Dick book, which of course it's based on, what was it? We sell it to you.
We can remember it for you wholesale. Which has totally different ending than any of the movies do.
It does, which a lot of the Philip Dick film adaptations are quite different from the actual novelizations. But I felt like as far as watching a film and feeling like I'm actually watching one of his works come to life on screen, it really felt like reading something of his. It didn't feel so much like that particular short story. It felt a little more like something like Clans of the Alphane Moon, but it really does feel like a cyberpunk Philip K. Dick story. And I feel like the remake was just boring and dull to look at, and everything was white and looked like an iPad. The 1990 Paul Verhoeven one really got the aesthetic right. It was definitely a mix of cyber and punk. It had both aesthetics going for it, and had the revolution of the lower class against the upper class. Ronnie Cox again as an evil corporate scumbag. I mean, that guy really came a long way since Deliverance. playing the happy-go-lucky nice guy to the corporate dickhead plays it very well. And
the only kind of movie where Michael Ironside could get Sharon Stone.
Michael Ironside, get anybody he wants. Come on. And of course, it's also the quintessential Michael Ironside loses not only one arm, but both his f***ing arms movie.
Total Recall, the first one, just phenomenal. Absolutely, I think, has a lot of cyberpunk aspects to it. It's not something I would jump to, you know, when you're thinking of cyberpunk, but when you look at it on paper, it's like, yeah, I mean, it does fall under that. Total Recall, the remake was absolute hot garbage. They spent a lot of money to make something look really, really, really fake. The remake cost, I think, 2 to 3 times more than the original, and yet somehow looked worse. And it's also, and it was what, you know, 20, 25 years later or something they came
22.
Out? 22 years later, and it absolutely looked like shit. And it had a lot of talented people behind it. I was worried, but I was optimistic. And then I'm like, well, you did the same goddamn movie. The only thing was they didn't go to Mars. They went to the other side of the planet through a big elevator, which was stupid, you know?
I actually kept getting bothered in that movie. I just wanted Kate Beckinsale to pick a fucking accent.
I thought that she was good as a villain. I thought that
couldn't pick an accent. Sometimes she has a British accent, sometimes an American accent.
I only pick up on that if I see the movie, unless it's really bad, or if I see the movie like multiple times, but I watch that movie once and I'm like, yep, never watching it again.
Well, speaking of Philip K. Dick, what about something like Screamers, which was based on his story Second Variety? Now, it changes a lot of elements from the original story, but it keeps a lot. I would say the story is very much a cyberpunk story. The movie, I don't know, the movie was trying more to be a horror film that was set in a cyberpunk setting than it was to try and be a cyberpunk film.
Screamers is a horror film, I would say, like kind of like Tremors, set in a cyberpunk setting. Like, it had the aesthetic, but it was also sort of more, been a little while since I've seen it, but it bordered more on like a post-apocalyptic kind of movie. Like, there's a lot of desert, and of course you had the whole horror aspect of these like you know, monsters that were under the ground, but they were like little chomper metal robot things. I mean, it's been a little while since I've seen it. I like the movie a lot, but I don't know if I would classify it as cyberpunk. Definitely more of like a horror film that takes place in like the future.
I love Screamers, but I think it's more sci-fi horror than cyberpunk. I don't really see, little bits of it in there, but for the most part, it is definitely more sci-fi horror.
Have either of you guys seen the J.R. Bookwalter film from the, like, I think it was 99 or 2000, Horror Vision?
No.
It's not a great film. It's a film that is definitely ahead of its time in some of its ideas. It's literally about all the hate and anger of the internet, the late 90s internet, all the hate and anger of the internet literally manifesting itself as a cyber demon trying to wipe out humanity.
Oh my God.
That's actually not a bad idea, actually. Neither of you guys have seen that one?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen it. Almost sounds like what Tumblr will eventually turn into, a big demon, a big demon that's gonna, it's gonna go around devouring and castrating all white men.
It's a better idea than it is a film because they didn't have the budget to do it.
What's the name of it?
Horror Vision. Brink Stevens is in it.
Oh, she get naked?
Yes, but she gets killed in the first 10 minutes, so. She does get killed while naked though, so does that help?
I like the cyber demon. Oh, he's like a skull, like metal skull guy. I think he is the living embodiment of Tumblr.
I actually did a write-up for this movie since I work for Nightflight.com. I did a whole write-up for that. You can go to find my review over at Nightflight. But you also can't forget, we wrote up Max Headroom earlier, cyberpunk has come to TV a few times. Sometimes more well received than others. Like for the whole virtual reality craze, you had VR5. I remembered liking quite a bit until I rewatched the episodes maybe 6 years ago. Oh my God, is that a late 90s time capsule? Everything in that show is so ridiculously dated. It's both amazing and painful simultaneously. Well, and the internet seems to be pissed off that we're talking about cyberpunk, so it just swallowed Peter whole. I guess he jacked out, or he's been jacked off. We were talking about VR5. I know you used to watch that. Remember with Laurie Singer and Penn from Penn and Teller?
Oh yeah. I actually, and if I'm not mistaken, Giles from Buffy was in that. I like VR5. I watched it in syndication on Sci-Fi Channel, I think. I thought it was clever. I mean, aside from them really kind of pushing the limits of what VR technology could do. And, you know, yeah, the clothes and the music and all that.
And the TV budget.
And the TV budget was very 90s. And every time she would go into VR, it was basically a music video. I don't know. It had a very earnestness to it. I thought that Laurie Singer was really giving it her all. I thought that she was doing a great job with what little money they had. I thought that she played both sides of it well. Like she was playing kind of the computer nerd in the real world, and then she was playing the whatever the VR thing.
Borderline superhero.
Yeah, whatever it called for her to be that week. I enjoyed it. I think that it's cool. I think that it is definitely a nice time capsule of the 90s, but I can kind of look at things from that perspective. I can see, okay, well, this is when they were made and this is why this is the way that it is.
And so you actually got to see them where they make more sense because you saw them in order. When they were aired on Fox, it was 90s Fox.
Of course
they were not aired in order.
Why would they?
Looks like Peter flushed his borders and was able to use his doubler because he's back.
Yes, the Tumblr demon tried to get me, but I kicked that bitch right in its vagina dick.
But sometimes cyberpunk on TV doesn't work. I mean, like VR5 is fun, Max Headroom is awesome. Do you guys remember both of the cyberpunk episodes that the X-Files tried to do and just how embarrassingly bad they were? And one of them was even written by William goddamn Gibson.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, actually, I think I remember one.
Well, the William Gibson one, I don't know what you're talking about. The William Gibson one was good. And then, are you talking about the Lara Croft one?
I think it was called First Person Shooter.
God. Yes, First Person Shooter. Oh, lighten up. It was coming out because video games were really taking off. And so they were taking advantage of that. And they had, a lot of like computer jokes. They had a lot of, silly I don't know. I think it's fine. I think you get too uptight about shit.
We have to include a movie here that I do not think is a good movie. It definitely qualifies as a cyberpunk film. That would be the Sandra Bullock movie, The Net. We may not like it, but it has, it doesn't have the look and the aesthetics of a cyberpunk film, but all of the themes and stories, it's a cyberpunk movie whether we want to admit it or not.
Speak for yourself. I like the net.
It was okay. I'm not the biggest fan of Sandra Bullock, but it's all right.
I actually liked the TV series though.
The TV series was good. I thought Brooke Langton was a good Sandra Bullock stand-in. But I like the movie because it's much like Hackers. It's so wrong. Did the people reading this ever use a computer before?
Is that any worse than like how they hack computers on NCIS or CSI with two people typing on the same keyboard? Oh my god, he's through my firewall and you know, they make it seem like it's an actual wall. He's tunneling through my firewall, and it's like, you've never touched a computer before, have you?
Enhance. And yeah, I love that. Was awesome with the two people typing. That's not like two people playing the piano. Like it's like that doesn't work that way.
But you brought up Hackers. I do consider Hackers a cyberpunk movie because it is science fiction because of how little reality it has in it. But it's a fantastic computer film. It might not be so much about the interface as we'd normally think of with cyberpunk. I consider Hackers a cyberpunk film.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those ones I also haven't seen in the longest time.
I love Hackers. It's so dumb. Like, it's just... It's another one where
hack the planet.
You just sit back and you just enjoy how wrong they are about everything.
Come on, come at me.
Yeah, it's the Cookie Monster virus. You gotta type cookie.
And then his assistant is Penn Jillette again from VR5.
Exactly. Penn couldn't get away from these computer shows.
And their big supercomputer is called the Gibson. Ha ha ha!
They had a lot of, like, references to stuff, and I loved how, like, they even said, the director was talking about how, you know, he wanted to make this visually pleasing, so it's like, I mean, hacking is boring. You know, you can't really do a movie about hacking. So whenever they're hacking stuff, it's like, you know, you're flying through this LED version of like a cityscape, and there's bits and shit flying around, and it looked really good, but it's like, all right, this is just not how it is at all.
What about to end out tonight a film that I think is a cyberpunk movie that has never been considered a cyberpunk movie before? Weird Science. They literally use the computer to make a girl. Weird Science is a cyberpunk movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It borders more on cyberpunk comedy, or cyberpunk light, but it definitely is. I mean, they use a computer to make somebody. It's almost like more of like a modern Frankenstein tale. Like instead of the Frankenstein's monster being created with parts of dead people and electricity, it's created with a computer, which is sort of an interesting idea all in itself. And it's a nice little memory of Bill Paxton as well. It's a very memorable film for him, memorable early Robert Downey Jr. And it does have those little cyberpunk elements in it as well. Very 80s and very fun and sort of a it's light cyberpunk. It's not super downtrodden or, you know, the lower class rising up against the upper class or anything. It's a fun cyberpunk romp, I think, would be a better way to put it. But definitely cyberpunk.
We also can't leave out how hot Kelly LeBrock was and Robert Russler wearing a bra on his head.
Yes.
You're stewed, but what? I think, it's a cyberpunk comedy, quite possibly one of the only cyberpunk comedies that I could even think of.
Can we keep this just between us? I don't want to lose my teaching job.
Right. Oh, God. The Hills Have Eyes.
Michael Berryman.
Movie, again, another one that's just so full of quotable moments and just great. Who is this Gary person? You know, like, really funny. Great performances, great comedy. Hey, computers are taking off. What if we made a girl with the computer? And they made Kelly LeBrock, who at the time was at peak hotness. And
Steven Seagal hadn't twisted her nipples out of shape yet.
He punched him and then did his little girly run. And cyberpunk elements, but I mean, yes, it is technically a cyberpunk movie, but it's not something that I would really be like, hey, you know, I want to watch a cyberpunk movie, and then you watch Weird Science.
Well, I mean, to a degree, James Whale's Frankenstein. I mean, it is literally about melding technology with the body. Yeah, it's not computers, yeah. But I mean, hell, I don't even know if the original Mary Shelley Frankenstein, because that one was less technological. You know, they didn't use lightning. They used electric eels and all that. I would say the James Whale Frankenstein movies are proto-cyberpunk in a strange, strange way.
Maybe, but, yeah, if you could consider Frankenstein's monster as sort of a cyborg type thing.
In weird ways, like a zombie
in
cyborg.
In a weird way.
He's a zombie cyborg.
Sort of. Zombie Terminator.
By that logic, then Universal Soldier, too.
I was just thinking that.
Yes! Good lord, that totally works. That's Frankenstein Terminator, pretty much.
On that note, since we're on the computer, where can people contact Peter if they wish to give him their thoughts? If he wishes to download their thoughts, because, dude, I can crash your board from here, man.
You can jack in and see me on Twitter, Cinematica, YouTube, Cinemasochus, Facebook, The Cinemasochus, and at 1201beyond.com.
Cecil, where can people find you after they've jacked in? You did use the doubler, right?
You'll have to excuse me. Right now I'm taking over a TV network.
Hey, you wanted to watch Outer Limits, man. That's worthwhile.
It was. But yes, never fear. I is here. You can find me at escapistmagazine.com, goodbadflix.com, as well as goodbadflix on Facebook and Twitter. Spandex is a privilege, not a right.
You can find me at 1201beyond.com. Contact this show at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Guys, keep one foot in the gutter, one fist in the gold. Have a good night.
Ready, roll tape, playback, and action.
Radio Drome is a 1201 Beyond production. Find it and other great content at 1201beyond.com.